Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. I will start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off this morning, Joe, do you want to share?
Sure. Kia ora everybody. My name's Joe. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Joe.
My sobriety date is the 20th of the 12th, 2016. I'm closing in on 2 years of sobriety. I come from a very dysfunctional background. I'm not sure if I was born an alcoholic, but I was definitely destined to be one. I was a very insecure child, and as soon as I tasted alcohol as a teenager, I kind of found my solution. It kind of took all those horrible feelings away of depression and anxiety and fear and all that sort of thing. I continued to drink heavily into my late teens, early 20s. By that time, I developed some sort of self-awareness around my drinking and realised that I drank far more abnormally to my friends and peers. But I just couldn't stop drinking at all, so I drank alcoholically for almost 25 years until I got extremely sick back in the end of 2016, where the alcohol actually stopped working. I was told by my doctor about 6 months to a year before that I needed to give up very soon because my liver was packing up. My body was shutting down. I was losing my memory. I was suicidal. I'd lost my my relationship with my children's mother. I had issues with work. I'd been fired from 2 jobs. I was very deceitful and dishonest, and even violent, not towards women, but just towards other blokes. Which is not in my inherent character. So it wasn't until I gave up alcohol that I actually discovered that alcohol really turned me inside out once I drank it excessively. So I guess I was granted the gift of desperation. I actually hate that term. When I first heard it, I thought that was a ridiculous term because I didn't see any gift in a desperation whatsoever, but I understand it now. Alcoholics Anonymous didn't get me sober. I sobered up in a detox facility here in Point Chev in Auckland, and I spent a week in there, medical detox, because I was physically dependent on alcohol at that stage, and I was 41 years old. I'd run out of money. I was living by myself. I was working 2 jobs. I was working at a brothel, of all places, and I'd carved out myself a good career as a car salesman for about 12 years, but I lost 2 jobs in that industry, so I started choosing jobs that fit my drinking. So I honestly thought that, I'd spend a week in detox, I'd come out, and life would just fall back into place, but it wasn't the case for me whatsoever. Everything actually got worse. The depression got worse, the anxiety got worse. I was introduced to AA about 2 weeks after I came out of detox by a friend in the fellowship. And it took me about 8 months to get used to meetings. I hated them in the beginning. The next 8 months, I didn't like them. And since then, up until now, I kind of like them. And I've realised that that Alcoholics Anonymous has actually saved my life. It's kept me sober. It's given me invaluable tools to live a relatively happy, content, and productive life. My life's changed dramatically. I'm no longer the dirtbag that I used to be, but it's taken a hell of a lot of hard work. My first year of sobriety was horrific. I experienced suicidal thoughts. I even planned my death. This is while I was sober. And I had a whole lot of other issues. I had financial issues because I couldn't work. I was trying to mend my relationships, especially close ones with my parents. And I lost a very dear friend of mine, which was an unofficial sponsor and I would say a spiritual guide for me also, back in April, which was really difficult. I had my first sober relationship at the beginning of this year, which was interesting, and I learned a lot from it. I became a grandfather for the first time about a week and a half ago. I just turned 43. I'm coming up to 2 years of sobriety, so very, very soon. I've ended up in a psychiatric ward at the beginning of this year twice. The first time was because of my suicidal tendencies and I was taken against my own will. I used to be like extremely charming when I was drunk. While I was in there, I found myself extremely charming and I talked myself out of the psych ward after about 9 days. I says, no, I'm sweet, I'm fine, let me go. About a week later, I called them up and asked them to take me back. So, I've been through a hell of a lot in my sobriety, and it's normally stuff that I would definitely pick up over, and I didn't. What I kept doing is I kept coming back to meetings, even though I found them very difficult. I stayed close to the fellowship. I started to get asked to do service, which was really important. And there's three things in Alcoholics Anonymous that kind of spearhead the whole gig for me. That's unity, service, and recovery. I think it's extremely important. And I can honestly say that this Alcoholics Anonymous has definitely saved my life. I'm not where I want to be in my life at the moment, but my life has changed drastically. I've got another relapse in me, but I don't have another recovery. And so I'm fear driven, definitely. But this time it's a very healthy fear, because I know if I pick up another drink, I'll be a goner. So I kind of hold on to that, and I do all the suggested things, and I do things like this, and this is what keeps me sober. And yeah, it's been a hell of a ride. I'm definitely on the slow boat. Some people get it quickly, some people get it slowly. I'm definitely the latter. For anybody that's still struggling out there, I really encourage you to go to meetings when you don't feel like them, and don't listen to your head, and act in spite of how you feel. Because it's definitely worth it. I can testify to that. I'd like to wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, Joe. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in, and we're sharing our experience, strength and hope about our journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person to share is Mike. Do you want to share?
Hi, I'm Mike. I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is 21st of January 2013. I came into the rooms when I was 53 years old, which, and while there was, in my life, looking back, there were signs that I had a problem with drinking. I also enjoyed quite a charmed life up until I was about maybe 45 or so, where some of the traits that us alcoholics have, such as being very focused, and we can be very driven and ignore other people's emotions and thoughts, and that can be quite beneficial in the business world where you can be very focused. And so I actually enjoyed a very successful career. There was a lot of alcohol involved in that culture, as you can probably imagine. But I also had pretty good relationships with people, and was married in a very, very lovely marriage with my my soulmate. However, when I changed my career and started working for myself, I think I lost some of my identity, and as that didn't go particularly well, I started to slip into drinking more, and although I didn't realize it at the time, bouts of depression. And I think one of the things that really impacted me was lack of connection with people. I'd worked in big companies with lots of people around me, and then I was working from home, you know, pretty much on my own. And that shrunk my world, and suffering from depression and then more drinking, you know, shrunk that world even further. And I think it is, I've heard many alcoholics say the same thing, that they retreat into themselves. And that's not a particularly healthy place to be if you're drinking and if you're depressed. So although I'd had this great life, those years started on a slope which tends to get more slippery by the day or by the week. Without going into huge detail, you know, clearly that impacted my marriage, my family, my friends. I started hanging out with people that I wanted to drink with rather than like them for necessarily who they were. And started to hide my drink and isolate. So that sort of deception was really part of the disease of alcoholism. And with various toings and froings, you know, I genuinely started to try and stop drinking when I was about 2 years out from joining AA, but found I couldn't. And that was really quite challenging, in that while I was genuinely wanting to and seeking help, you know, I just couldn't stop, and I couldn't really understand. I knew there was something wrong with me, but I couldn't really know exactly what it was. And I thought I was going crazy, because the alcohol was kind of fueled more isolation, but also more fantasizing about what I could do, which really, I wasn't really doing anything, to be honest. So that situation got gradually worse, until I finally said to my doctor, oh, look, you know, I think I'm drinking too much. And he put me into a treatment course. Now, this was in the UK, in London, so it was the National Health Service there. And I went to a therapist who assessed me and said, well, I don't think you're very physically dependent on alcohol, because you haven't drunk for, at that point it was 10 days, I think. But I think you'll be psychologically dependent, so I won't send you to a treatment centre or give you drugs to help you stop drinking. What I'll do is put you into therapy, which was great, you know, and I really related to that therapist, and I wasn't drinking at that time, and she really helped me, and she said, well, maybe you could sort of stop drinking for a year or so and then be okay. And I thought, yeah, that sounds like a plan. So I was genuinely trying to help, and was interacting with professionals who were genuinely trying to help me. But after a few weeks, Christmas came up. We happened to be back in New Zealand for Christmas, and I started drinking again. And this time it was a great idea. I thought, well, I'll drink and I won't tell anyone, and then everyone will think I'm not drinking, but I am drinking. So it's kind of like a win-win. And that was the kind of really insane thinking that was going on in my head at the time, even though, as I said, I was actually, you know, in treatment and being, you know, well cared for, but my brain didn't seem to respond to that. And so after that trip, we were returning to London, things really spiraled down, and I got in incredibly drunk in front of my my family, who were shocked because they thought I wasn't drinking. And basically got an ultimatum from my wife when I woke up the morning after that bender. You either go to an AA meeting, and there's one at 11 o'clock at such and such address, or you go. And, you know, I'd had these ultimatums before, but, boy, this was – I knew this was serious. So I went to the AA meeting because I thought, well, I got nothing to lose. And I turned up and, you know, as I've heard other alcoholics share, when I went into that room and people started sharing, I knew I was in the right place. And I also learned or twigged that I had a disease, and that disease was progressive. It was only going to get worse unless I did something about it. And I didn't know it at the time, but the obsession for drink was actually lifted for me at that very first meeting, and I haven't felt the need to drink since that date, 21st of January 2013. And, you know, I went away from that meeting still not knowing really what AA was or how it worked, but feeling really accepted and in a place of that was going to help me. And I someone had suggested that meeting that I should go to 90 meetings in 90 days, which, you know, I thought, oh yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And I did that, and in London there's lots of meetings, as there are in Auckland, so I was able to do that. And I calculate I probably heard about 1,000 people share over that 90 days. And that's a lot of people, a lot of insight and hearing similarities to my problem. So that helped me tremendously. And my therapist, of course, was delighted that I joined AA, and I said to her, well, why didn't you tell me about it? And she said, well, would you have gone? And I said, well, probably not. And it was that, you know, desperation that came from the ultimatum of either go or leave home that got me in. And that was the best, you know, the best thing I ever did. I've since, you know, become a dedicated AA fellow, and have had a sponsor who is someone that helps me go through the program and helps me with my understanding how to live life without drinking. And I've got to say, in the last 5 years or so, my life has really transformed. And while it was charmed before, I think now it is truly blessed. And I look forward to each day in sobriety, because each day seems to be better than the one before. So thanks very much for listening to my story.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship on this morning, and we're sharing our experience, strength and hope about our journey of recovery from alcoholism. The next person to share is David. Do you want to share?
Kia ora, my name is David. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, David.
And my story started when I was very young. The first time I recall getting drunk, I was only 11 years old, and it was a clear pattern emerged right from that age that any time I was able to have alcohol, I wanted more. And when I was a teenager, I started an apprenticeship, and as luck would have it, the three men who managed the workshop I was in were, I think, probably all alcoholics themselves, and so I got an apprenticeship in drinking as well as electronics. And so by the time I was 17 or 18, I was drinking alcoholically, and I kept it up for 40 years. Goodness knows how. At the start, I was telling myself I was having fun, and I certainly, alcohol transformed me. I was outwardly, I had a double life. Outwardly, I was confident and outgoing and sociable, but inside, I was just full of fear. And it just was, I saw alcohol as an enabler for me to have a sort of somewhat what I thought was normal life. Unfortunately, it wasn't a normal life, and I damaged my relationships, my work performance and my health as time went on. It just got worse and worse until I found that, you know, really my life was a situation that was impossible. Back when I was only about 18 years old, a family friend who was a minister spoke to me about drinking, and he suggested that perhaps I should just try for, say, 60 days going without alcohol. And, you know, I didn't say anything to him, but in my head I thought, I knew I couldn't do that. I knew it just wasn't a practical option for me, and I kept it up. And I did keep it up, even after my marriage got into trouble, and I couldn't go more than a day or so without alcohol, and even then I was in such a terrible state. I was so restless, irritable, and discontented with life without alcohol. I just didn't know how to function at all. Until that double life, I managed to keep going. Professionally, I did okay, and I think I was popular at work, and I had reasonable performance, but really things were crumbling around me. My marriage ended. I was increasingly less social and just drinking on my own, becoming more and more isolated because I felt I didn't need to explain myself to other people or make excuses. And I was very good at even fooling myself. I did ridiculous things. I used to visit different bottle stores around the neighbourhood so that people wouldn't see how much I was buying. I found out since then that in my neighbourhood all of the bottle stores are owned by one family and they all knew exactly what I was doing. So I sort of felt somewhat ridiculous. There's been several incidents, and since then I've realised how foolish I was and that it wasn't fooling myself or anybody else really. Through the kind intervention of the management where I'm employed, I was referred to a counsellor as things started to fall apart. And from that counsellor, I was introduced to AA, which was a concept I had knew of the existence, but I really knew nothing about AA at all, which was probably something of an advantage because I went to AA with an open mind. I knew that I was physically sick, and mentally I was behaving and living my life in an insane fashion. But what I hadn't understood until I went to AA was that I was spiritually sick as well. And I had been raised in a very religious household, but I'd never really embraced it for myself. And I wasn't interested in religion, but it was explained to me that Alcoholics Anonymous program is a program that is spiritually based, but it's not religiously based. And it was explained to me that I didn't need to believe in a particular God, but I had to accept that there was a higher power in my life. And even with my huge ego, I was prepared to admit that there were things in life that were more powerful than I was. And so that was the starting point that got me through the door of AA. By the second meeting of AA, I had stopped drinking. That was something I had never imagined I would be able to accomplish, and I certainly had tried in the past. But I've come to understand that under this program, if I apply the spiritual principles, I can achieve things that I could not do by myself. And that has happened over and over. I'd moved from being in a completely incomprehensible and intolerable situation to accepting the fact that life was the way it should be, and that if I followed direction from my higher power, then things could only improve. Each day now, I pray for direction in my life, and I ask to be shown what is the next right thing to do, the next right thing to say. And then I just sit back and relax and let it happen. I'm not the control freak I used to be. I don't get angry with everybody when things don't go the way I think they should be. And miraculously, what happens is that things work out just to be the way they should be. I grew up believing that alcoholism was a sign of weakness, and that if I had more self-control or more willpower, I could do better. And the strange paradox of joining AA has been to discover that actually it's by giving up control that I've actually been able to achieve those things that I wanted to. I just needed to be honest enough and willing enough to give the program a try. What happened was that I stopped trying to live in the problem and started trying to live each day, one day at a time, just trying to do the right things. Instead of trying to change all the problems that were wrong with the world, I looked at what I could do about myself. I had to have an accurate self-appraisal about what I'd been doing and what I was doing, and have a look at how things could possibly be different in the future. I needed to address the things I'd done wrong in the past, and I needed to talk to the people that I had caused harm to. And then, as well as that, I needed to hand over control of my life to my higher power and start life on a new course. under spiritual direction, I found that I have a degree of serenity. Things are not always easy. But I've learned that often when I'm feeling distressed by things or upset by people, places or events, I can just take a pause. I can admit to myself that I'm not in control, just hand over that desire for control to my higher power and take direction at each time. And suddenly I find people saying to me things like, David, you're so patient, and David, you're so kind. And I hardly recognise myself when they speak because that's not what's been happening in my head. But as was mentioned earlier, I have a spiritual toolkit now. I have the ability to reflect on what I'm doing and how I could do things better. I take direction from other people. I have a sponsor in AA who is someone who is more experienced in the program than I am. He's able to share with me about how he works the program, how he's faced life's issues, and what the outcome for him has been. I used to tell him how thankful I was for the help that he gave me, and I certainly am grateful for that. He would always reply, it's helping me more than it's helping you. And I honestly thought he was just being polite when he said that. I now understand that I'm helping other people through this program, how that works. And instead of living each day trying to figure out where my next drink might come from, I'm living each day now trying to figure out how I can be of service to other people. Because the more I do of that, whether it's just in my workplace or whether it's taking this program to other people, I just find that my life gets better and better. The more that I give it away, the more that I get back for myself. So if you're like me and you're drinking and you don't know how to stop, then I do invite you to come to AA and see how the program works. You'll find a group of people who share the common problem. We encourage and help each other. I need to be reminded of where I came from with my drinking. The book of Alcoholics Anonymous reminds me that I'm unable to recall with sufficient force the consequences of my drinking in order to stop me from picking up another drink. But with the aid of other people and the spiritual program, I find that I'm given a daily reprieve where I can continue on that path. I live in a world where I'm surrounded by warning signs about don't do this and don't do that. On bottles of alcohol, they often have something about the health effects and the cautions for pregnant women and so on. In my past, the only warning label that would have made sense to me was that this bottle will not be enough. And so I now know that each day I need to not pick up that first drink to carry on with a spiritual program and working with other people, and then I will be kept safe, happy and healthy. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We've had members of our fellowship in, and we've been sharing our experience, strength and hope about our journey of recovery from alcoholism. Now, if you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, there's a couple of things you can do. You can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. And that's not just in Auckland, that's right through the whole country. Or you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists is a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area. We have about 140 meetings in Auckland. It will also give you a list of meetings up and down the country as well. There's a lot of other information on the website about Alcoholics Anonymous and the program and different things that we do and different events, so have a look on there. But we strongly suggest that, you know, if you'd like to do something, come along to a meeting and have a listen. You never know, it may change your life. So we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.